Hey Podnuts, Corey here from Instant House Call. Whether you're a break fix tech who needs to provide remote support on demand without pre-installed software, or a managed service provider who wants to connect to unattended PCs anytime, Instant House Call makes remote support easy. I want to invite you to try Instant House Call free for yourself. Go to podnuts.com and click on the link in the show notes, then use the promo code PODNUTS. Instant House Call is the best remote support on earth. We can prove it. Try it free now and see for yourself.
Welcome to Podnuts Daily, episode number 422, a show for computer repair techs by computer repair techs. I'm your host, Jeff Halish. I'm joined today by Andres Quiroz from RepairPCChicago.com. Andres, how you doing?
Great, not too bad. Thank you for plugging my website, also known as Green Ink. That's my hub, because I have two positions, two jobs that I run, which is computer repair as well as signs and banners and postcards and business cards and all kinds of fun stuff.
I think that's great to have, you know, to be diversified like that and not have all your eggs in one basket. And especially, I know a lot of people that are in graphics and stuff like that, usually they do it because they really like it. Is that the case?
Yeah, that is definitely the case. Okay. I mean, actually, I'm an ex-graffiti artist. That's pretty much how I started. I was at Truman Middle College when I started getting into graffiti. And from there, I just wanted to get paid a little bit to do a little stuff that I was doing here and there for commercials and do murals for them. And, you know, because it was kind of a big thing back then. And I just kind of decided to get into it a little bit more deeper. And then, you know, it kind of branched into something more serious, where I was like really doing, like brochures, and I was doing postcards and probably banners. And that's kind of where I just kind of fell into it a little bit more deeper, as far as signs go.
Gotcha. Okay. Very cool. Well, I'll tell you what, why don't you go ahead and tell your story of basically how you got started in computer repair. And you kind of just gave us a little background on the other side of making, you know, graphics and different things like that. And yeah, go ahead and roll all those into one.
It was actually kind of fun. I mean, I ran into, a couple of graffiti artists back a long time ago. Even before then, I was actually drawing on shirts, and I didn't really know it was some type of a business. I had Ninja Turtles and all kinds of, Wolverine shirts and things that I did on my own. You know, I wasn't trying to sell them. I was just trying to make them for myself. And I just had an artistic expression that was kind of locked in from family generations. So what I ended up doing was just kind of getting into it a little bit more with the graffiti, get arrested, blah, blah, blah. You know, the fun stuff.
Right. So,
jumping on buildings, painting on trains, making people angry. And it was okay, though. I was good. I was happy. And after realizing that, you know, I was actually I was just trying to get into something, be a part of something as well. And I think during the time when I was in college, I actually started going to a class, computer classes. And I was like, okay, this is interesting. I'd never really dealt with computers before. So I'm 40. I just turned 40, on the 17th of this month. And what I did was, in college, I don't even remember my age at the time, but let's put it this way. We were working on DOS program of Word Perfect. So
okay.
That's kind of dating that out right there. So, and I actually got into it. People were playing with fractal imaging on the computer. I'm like, oh, how'd you do that? You know, and they're saying, oh, this is what you got to do. Just mess with the script here and there and blah, blah, blah. And then, of course, they were showing me pictures and images and how you can, you know, make them flash, and then you can make the computer say, I hate myself, I hate myself, I hate myself, about 100 times with the DOS prompts and stuff like that. I was like, this is fun. So what I ended up doing there was just, you know, I really wanted to get a computer. And I just, you know, kind of just talked to my mom. My mom was like, yeah, you know, sure, we can do something for you. Let's just really make sure that you want to get into computers. So, you know, we weren't rich. We were living, you know, as modest people. And we did what we did. I went from the whole college thing or high school thing, went into college and doing college and then, like I said, I was still doing more graffiti as well as just a little bit of computer stuff. And then when my mom finally did get me a computer, I was like, ooh, all right. I want one that has a scanner that built in, which you don't even hear of anymore.
Right.
Which was an HP. You can only scan those 4x6s, but that's it. But it was like awesome because you just like you scan it in and it just pushes right back out. You're like, oh, that's cool. But it's right on my screen. I was like, cool. And then I took it apart. I did. I just $500 right out the door. I just took it apart. I had no idea what I was doing. I just knew that you could do other things with it. In my mind, I just like, there's got to be something else. So I guess I could say before I actually took it apart, I actually upgraded a couple things like the motherboard. I had a monster graphics card, the one that was like an adapter for your video, for the actual video card that you're actually having now. And I mean, it was great. I mean, there was like, I was playing Quake. I was playing, Wolfenstein. I was playing all these games. And I just wanted to know, you know, what else can we do, you know, and messing around with the peripheral, adding a couple memory things in here and there. You know, like I said, when I took that thing apart, my mom was like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm just playing with the computer, literally playing with the computer.
Right.
And she, you know, she didn't get too angry, but she was like, okay, you better just make kind of a living out of this one way or another because you need to pay me back. I'm like, okay. So as time went by, I actually started, you know, doing taking things apart more, adding more memory and putting it back together again, successfully putting things back together again. I was like, okay, this is getting better. And then more updates, more modifications. Yes, I actually got into modifications. I was like, okay, give me lights, green lights, green LEDs. Give me, you know, some type of electrical staticky thingies, like just, you know, making my box look as clean, as clear, and just modifications. Sure. I mean, I was like, I was all into what I can do to my computer. So with the sign stuff, it kind of fell backwards because I just was going full forward with a lot of the PC stuff. And when anybody needed something for graphics, I would just you know, just get it done for them and just shoot it back out to them. But I would be more into the computer stuff for sure. So I guess going into the future now, I was in the, you know, I guess I worked for more sign companies than I did for computer stuff. And I actually ended up doing my own computer stuff on the side. And I worked for Signorama. I worked for a sign and lighting company, which was, I was, you know, almost at all these places, I was the main designer of the company, and it was great. I mean, I think that's where most of my bread and butter came from. But at that point, it's still, you know, 2006 around. You know, I still haven't even made any money that was worth talking about with fixing computers versus doing signs, and while I was. I was fired from working at first I left my job because my boss died on me. God rest his soul. He had a battle between drugs and he was really, really, really hard guy. Just like, he told you, if he doesn't like something, he'll tell you. There's a phone that's in his hand, and 3 seconds later, it's across the room. I mean, he will tell you, boom, 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 boom. And me, I am an Aquarian. I don't know if that means anything to anybody, but to Aquarians, they know what that means. Basically, from what it means, is that they're very calm people. They're very laid back. They're very good, happy-minded people where if things happen that it's very bad or wrong, I mean, there's always going to be the other the pendulum that will swing the other way. And I think that's kind of where I was at that in that time, in that zone. So him, when it was with me versus him, it was always, he always turned into a kitten with me for some reason. I love disgruntled people. I love it when people are like, blah, 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 blah. Okay, calm down for a minute. Let's talk about this. So as time went by, like I said, God rest his soul, is a really good guy overall. I just had to do something. So I got into my computers more and more. And I started getting into repair a little bit more. And I started doing either modifications or building a brand new PC, which almost nobody does anymore, which is, it's a lost art practically.
Right. Yeah.
And as far as, viruses and things like that, I mean, I think I only met one virus with one of my best friends, which was Paco LeBron from Prodigy Techs. I mean, one virus that really, really to this day, like really knocked me over to a point where I was like, I was so frustrated, I actually threw the machines out. And it was a DOS-based virus.
Oh, wow.
So at that point, I was just floored. I've never seen a virus like this before in my life. And I was like, No. So, Paco, that was the first time he seen me like frustrated on anything. Because even he was still young in the game. Where I was actually teaching him like a lot of the Windows 98, I believe. 98.
Okay. Yeah.
And I was teaching him how to use that, and these little tricks, making GIFs jump up and down on the screen, and changing, what's a hard drive, what's a memory, what's, all kinds of good stuff, like what this is and what that. And then he did so well. He excelled so fast. And he was actually the one teaching the class, every once in a great while. I mean, that's how strong-minded he was. Also Aquarian, also born on the same day as I was. Only 11 years apart, of course. And good kid, smart kid. And I knew that he was going to go past me. At my prime, he was learning. At his prime, I'm just getting a little slower. Nevertheless, I mean, he's a good guy. And as far as, I was teaching computer courses to the elderly people. I was teaching to 9-year-old, 10-year-olds
how to use
computers. That was a nonprofit organization, and I didn't mind doing that. Actually, I love teaching. I mean, that's one of the better things that I would like to do more so than fixing computers in general. But without knowing how to fix computers, I mean, there's really not a whole lot to teach. I mean,
right?
Everybody in my classroom, at that point, I mean, I must have had at least 10 kids so far, it was done a certain day. And this was, later, I mean, I guess maybe the early 2000s, year 2000 or so. And I don't know, I just felt that, the best thing to do was just keep up with both of my talents. Like you said earlier, it's good to have one foot in one thing, one in the other. But for me, it's never so much one more than the other. I just try my best to keep it equal, because you never know when you're down on computers and computers work is not coming in. At least I have I'll have a sign job,
Right.
And sometimes the sign jobs are almost $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 sign jobs. You never get that much for one job for computer stuff. So I actually just have to be where people are starting up their businesses. And the more I do that, I'm like, hey, you guys need computers, don't you? I know what to do. I got you guys. I become a one-stop shop. I was like, okay, you guys need brochures, boom, business cards, boom. You're going to need a workhorse computers, no problem, I got you. Oh, you guys need software? Probably. No problem. I could do that too. Or, what version of Windows do you like? I can get you for that too. I mean, it's just it's upselling. Upselling as much as I can to a point where, you know, they will always call you. If it's not for a computer issue, it's going to be for printing and vice versa. So up to this day, this day and age now, I'm more like I have like six monitors, one for TV, one for internet, one for graphic design, one for editing, and the other one for email.
Wow. Okay.
I miss one or not, but I loved it when they came out with those graphics cards that would do more than one. So, and those were PCIs, Expresses. Those were great.
What was your very first computer that your mom had bought you?
You know, it was an HP. It was, you know, I don't remember the name of it, but it was an HP.
Remember,
we got it from Radio Shack.
Okay. Do you remember the processor speed or anything like that?
Yeah, I believe it was maybe a 300, 300 or so, processor speed. The memory must've been about 200, maybe 100 or maybe a gig or so.
Okay.
Yeah. I was surprised I was running games off of that. It's like, wow.
Oh, that's
but
cool.
At that time, it was more like, you know, internet, AOL, you know, with the ding, ding.
Right.
Gotta love that.
Well, I remember when I got my first, you know, I grew up with a, you know, Texas Instruments computer. And when I was in my early 20s, I had a Commodore 64 that I had bought myself. But I actually did not get my first computer or PC until 99 because, quite honestly, I just couldn't afford them. So,
no, right.
Even with that, my very first one was a Pentium 2 400 megahertz, and I think it had 128 megs of RAM. It had a 10 gig hard drive. I do remember that. And it was a Dell. And it was like with a 17 inch CRT monitor, it was $1,200.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I had to put that on credit just to get that thing. But, I tore that thing apart and you know upgraded and replaced all the stuff that I could, and then I started building my own.
Yeah, exactly. When I started building my own, that was it. That was the end of everything. I had Pentium processor, D processor. This was before the i7.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I tried to get me and Paco. Like I said, we were pretty close to each other. We did a lot of computer competitions together. They're like, okay, I'm going to get this computer. Okay, well, I'm going to get this computer. And, you know, I got a better computer, a little fun stuff, you know, but it kept us on our toes. It kept us informed about what was out there because you want to get the best of the best, or at least try to, you know. And that's when, you know, these stores came up like Micro Center, Tiger Direct, and little things like that. And they were like, okay, I'm going to get this, I'm going to get that. So right now, I have a Leon. I don't know if Leon Spider case.
Yes, what is it? L I O N or something like that?
No, or Leon.
Or yeah, I know. I know what you're talking about.
L I A N.
A N. That's right.
Yeah, and it's literally actually hanging from my wall because you know it's a spider.
Ah.
You know, and it's great. I love the computer. It's an i7 right now, working with 16 gigs of memory. And I mean, I've a Cyclone heat cooler. I have an FXF R770 series video card. And I love it. I love it. It's great.
Well, that's cool. Very good. Yeah. So you kind of told us a little bit of your backstory of basically how you got started and kind of how you and Paco had been working together over the years. Now, what types of things are you working on today?
Well, today I'm just trying to run my business, my computer repair business, and I haven't actually realized how the things have changed so much from just going on my daily basis without really worrying about, you know, the software out there that's out there that can actually help you save time, save money. I just was really walking blind. When Paco started getting into the pod nuts and he started getting into looking for programs that would help him. He wasn't stingy with the information. He says, dude, listen to this guy. Listen to Podnuts. There's a lot of information. These guys are just like you. They're doing what they can on a daily day basis, and they're doing what they can. And I'm like, okay. And there's so many different programs out there. You should take an advantage of, you know, pay your dues and you know, try to get something out there that's going to make it easier for yourself. You're doing too many things at once, and you don't have to. So I said, okay. I listened to Podnuts. I was listening to a bunch of different shows, and oh my god, it's tremendous of what's out there. But as far as like what I'm doing now for myself, it's just. It's I have a 3-year-old at home, so that should tell you it's got a lot of don't have a lot of time to work with myself, but I do what I can. I do word by mouth type stuff. I don't do advertisements because the advertisements for computer it doesn't work as well, and I found out it works even worse for printing. So
okay, that's good to know. Yeah,
and I just at least in Chicago. I do business cards, of course. That's the best way to do it. Everybody's asking for a business card.
Sure.
Luckily, I make my own.
Yeah, really. <That's
it. laughs> I'm always switching out every 2 years. I'm always switching the design up. And, I'm actually, like I said, I got both foot in both waters, and it's helping me out tremendously. Currently, I did I did like a huge sign, a LED sign with channel letters for a group called Wild Burger, American Wild Burger, which is a best friend of mine that was into the graffiti with me when we were younger, and we he ended up having his own place and his own burger joint, which unfortunately is very very sin for me because I love burgers a lot, so I'm always there. A lot. And I have diabetes, so I have to be careful of what I'm eating.
Right.
He doesn't help, but he kind of does help. I mean, we made a decision to just be careful about how often I go. So,
right.
But nevertheless, he's also asking me about, hey, how do I set up my hub for my router? I need, you know, help with that. I need to make sure that it doesn't pour over into like public versus what I need. You know, and I help him out with that. I mean, no matter what happens, you know, everything seems to be like word of mouth. And as far as computer stuff goes, I mean, I've been doing a lot of – I live not too far from Loyola University over in Granville. And a lot of students have been coming by, which I didn't expect, which was foot traffic, which is great. I do have my truck, which has my graphics on it, and which, of course, I did. And – And also my it's a full huge it's a Xterra 2001. It was originally tan. I painted it all green with my logo in the back and the information on the door. And I've had a lot of footwork coming in, possibly just from my truck. And of course, they can get to me really easily because when they see my truck, they just gotta look for my signs, which is also on my door. And I've been getting a lot of foot traffic recently, so I'm actually happy about that because I just moved to this area not too long ago.
Okay, all right.
Before that, I was at Humble Park.
Now, let me ask you this: now, are you doing these services full time, or are you working somewhere else currently?
Well, I'm actually working from the host. I'm actually from another state now. I'm actually working from the house. I have. Cameras everywhere. I don't have a dog. I should have a dog. but I do have a lot of cameras everywhere. So working from the house for me isn't a problem. I just don't see having the overhead for the quantity of work that I do. I got a feeling I'm going to end up not so financially gaining and more losing if I do an overhead. But that's just out of years of experience from watching other people. Some people, it could be because of financial management, but other people, it's because of, you know, just the fact that it's a little bit easier, especially when you have other entities that are depending on you, whether it's work related or home related, at least you'll be there 100%, you know?
Right.
But right. I do travel. I don't mind traveling. I don't work every day. I try to take Tuesdays off. And I've heard you say numerous times on your podcast saying, you know what, if your clients can't wait for you, then maybe those aren't the kind of clients that you need. Or if they're angry with you for something that, you know, that you did, maybe those aren't the kind of clients that you want, you know?
Right.
So I'm totally agree with you on that. And, I try to take a day off for sure. You have to do the family thing. I mean, that's one of the bigger things that I've learned was you can't ignore family. Even though you have a business at home, it doesn't mean you should or you could, because they feel that.
Right.
When they feel that. They let you know. You know, they let you know, like, hey, we need to spend some time together, and et cetera, et cetera. But it's a whole other dynamic that you got to work with. But I enjoy my family, and I don't find it work. I find it being something that you should do. I mean, it should be second nature. It's hard to do, but it still should be second nature.
Oh yeah. And you know, even in my home, I've, you know, I don't have five kids running around right now, but, I'm down to four,
yeah.
You know, one has moved out, but even with that being said, everybody's around all the time. You know, my kids are homeschooled and, you know, we're basically here as a family 24/7.
Right.
And so, you know, I do work a day job, which is actually in the evenings. But anyways, when I do that, you know, I'm gone for those hours. But when I'm here, you know, and I can always stop doing what I'm doing if I'm doing a computer repair and handle something else, which makes it kind of nice. So I kind of get the best of both worlds. I don't know that even when I retire from my regular job, even if I would want to open up a brick and mortar store, I just,
right.
I don't think that I'll need to. I think I can keep busy enough. Now, the one thing I'll be able to do a little bit easier is I'll be able to travel to people's homes or businesses or whatever, you know, during that time, which I can't really do right now because I work on a regular basis, and right. The hours I'm here, it's easier for people to drop stuff off, and I turn around, fix it and get it back to them, you know? So,
right.
I prefer it that way. I prefer, to be honest, not to leave my house ever. But
I agree.
Sometimes I have to. So,
right. It sometimes, you know, it just has to be that way where you have to leave the house at some point. There's certain companies that they need me to do things for them, and it has to be like either an installation or a networking installation where they want it hardwired, not Wi-Fi, because they're part of the health department.
Okay.
So I have clients from like Cermak Produce, Skokie Courthouse. I have clients that are just normal, everyday citizens of the world. And, you know, that have problems, and sometimes, you can't always be able to, be there, 100%, for them on that day at that time. But when you set up an appointment, you know, with them, you can definitely set it up so that it's a little more convenient. Say, for instance, you got to go grocery shopping, and at the same time, you know that they're on their way. So, hey, you know, why not kill two birds, you know?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So, It helps with signs and computer repair, because I can always kill two birds almost 99% of the time.
Gotcha. No, that's really good. So, what types of things we talked about? Now, I was looking at your website, and it looks like you do. Now, let me ask you this: vehicle mesh, is that like a wrap for the for your car?
It's the wrap for the windows.
Oh, it's for the windows. Okay. I got you.
Yeah. So you can actually see out, but nobody can see in. So I've always had that because I'm always carrying people's computers around one way or another.
Okay.
hate to have problems with people trying to break in and deal with that.
Sure.
But ever since I started using the mesh for that, I mean, I would do the back window and the both the side back windows. Of course, by law, you can't do the front ones. I'd love to do the hood. I mean, the whole front area window, that'd be great. Like you said, you can see out, but you can't see in.
Right.
But unfortunately, once again, it's still against the law.
Right, yeah.
You know, I have to follow the law nowadays. And ever since I got my bachelor's degree, I was like, okay, maybe I should slow down on this graffiti stuff. So, and besides, I think I'm getting too old. I can't run as fast as I used to.
Exactly.
So that's for the windows. The rest of the graphics, it actually just kind of melds with the graphics on the windows, depending on how you want to do it. So it looks almost flawless. The baby, she's in a car seat all the time, and she's always looking out the window. Even though that part of the window has been graphic with the mesh, it also works on storefronts as well, where people, you know, like yoga classes or ballets or you know, things like that. Yeah, same concept. So they can see out, but they can't see it.
All right, we'll probably be talking here because I was trying to figure out something to do for my vehicle. I've done the magnets, and they just. You got to take them off and clean them all the time, and I get tired of doing that. So,
absolutely, yeah. And not to mention, either somebody keeps stealing them for some reason, or they fall off if you go too fast,
right,
on the highway or something like that. Then you got to get a new one.
My idiot friends turn them upside down and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, that's funny.
So,
it's always good to have good friends.
Yeah, it's like I come out from the parking lot and I'm like, going seriously,
yeah.
It's something I was looking at. So now that I know somebody that does that, I'll definitely get in contact with you.
I will actually help anybody that hears the show, hears me talk about my past and everything. I'll definitely give you a percent for definitely just listening to me.
I appreciate that. So what types of things have you been working on as far as computers lately? I mean, have you been getting, is it a lot of hardware fixes, virus removals, different things like that in your business?
Well, I've gotten some repair. Like, for instance, some Livonos just came in and the hinges were kind of, this is a touchscreen Livonos, U13 touch pad. They look like those Apple's laptops.
Oh, okay.
And what happens is that when you open them up, the hinge doesn't want to move, and it would literally pull the screen from off of the hinge. And what happens is the wells that were used to screw on to the back of the board, it breaks. It just literally breaks. It shatters. So there's nothing else for it to hold on to anymore. So these Livonos came in. It was the same problem, and I actually found a client that had one that just had talked to me about a virus removal. I was like, "Wow, your Livono actually works." He's like, "Yeah, it seems to be okay." I'm like, "Just to let you know, in the future, as time goes by, you know," and I let them know things. I mean, if I know something, something that is detrimental to, or keeps happening to that specific laptop, I'm not going to keep my mouth shut and be like, "Watch, you'll be coming back to me in a couple of days."
Right,
no,
exactly.
I mean, I hate to do that to people. So right. I tell them, "Hey, you know what? Just to let you know, this can happen." So I try to be very vocal about a lot of stuff that people, you know, if I see something, then I let them know. But as far as what's been coming in, I've been doing some actual hardware repairs or switching from their hard drives. Maybe they're like, "Oh, it's just so slow." And after C Cleaner and after, you know, anti-malware, super anti-malware, or after malware bytes, or after all these malware programs and cleaning up the registry files and cleaning up whatever startup they have, and it's still slow, I'd pretty much at that point recommend a hybrid please edit this part out. An SSD drive.
Okay, gotcha. Yep.
The hybrid SSD drive seemed to be best of both worlds, because I feel that the actual SSD drives currently are just way too expensive. Even though they're very fast and they're very good, they're just still kind of expensive. Currently, I can get, you know, I can sell like in a hybrid 500 gig hard drive for approximately $80, and they're all over it. They're like, yeah, let's do that. So
right. Because my biggest thing, the reason I don't put SSDs in a lot of people's laptops, even though I know some people are doing that, and that's fine. The reason I don't is because if their hard drive starts to fail and it's a spinning hard drive, the chances are I can always get the data back 99% of the time. With an SSD, if it starts to die or something goes wrong with it, there's a good chance that I'm not going to be able to get their data back. And let's face it, the reality is people don't back up.
Right.
So I have a hard time actually putting an SSD in a machine, especially a laptop, you know, even though there's no spinning, you know, mechanics to it. And if you drop it, it should be fine. But those things can die, you know, in a blink of an eye, just like any other drive.
No, for sure.
You know, yeah. So.
And I think that's why I kind of leaned in towards the hybrid, which still has a spinning disk as well as a couple chips. So, yeah, I mean, I would definitely not prefer an SSD per se, even though they're pretty adamant. If they're adamant and you really, really – are you sure you really want it? Yeah, I definitely really, really want it. I said, okay. You know, and at that point, I would definitely tell them the same thing you said. You know, there may be a problem, and if you don't back up, that could be a bigger problem.
Well, so, and I would use that as an upsell at that point and go, okay – We'll put this SSD in, but let's also sell you some backup.
Exactly. and technically, I'm actually just started doing a little bit of work with, I don't know if you're, I think you know David from Magnusbox.
Yep, David Flores. Yep.
Yeah, I've actually started working with him to do cloud backup, and he's actually been very, very good to me about getting those for other people.
Good.
And it's been pretty successful. I mean, I haven't made too many sales, but I also need to push forward the time for myself to make sure that other people are definitely on board with that.
Right.
So you just have to turn yourself into a salesman at that point, you know. So if you're a computer guy and, you know, you're not into sales as much, you're going to have to end up hiring somebody to do your sales if you're not really good at it. But one thing I've really, really, really noticed was the best person that can sell your product is usually yourself.
Yeah, and I don't really look at it, because we all go through this. We think of these things as sales. I don't look at them as sales anymore. I look at them as, if I'm really in the business of protecting my customer, I'm just offering them a service. They can either take it or leave it. It doesn't matter to me. But the reality is I'm going to offer those things because I know what's best for my customer.
Right.
Because if that weren't the case, then my customer would not be using me.
Oh yeah. True. I mean, they have to put faith in you no matter what happens. They're the ones that's relying you on, you know, fixing their computer. Sometimes they don't want to know how. They don't care why something happened. They just want it fixed. And, you know, okay, let's do the fix, but we also should do prevention as well. And
right.
I think that's definitely, you know, part of it. And, you know, sometimes they don't care. Oh, how much is it? Okay, fine. Go ahead. Do it. Boom.
Right.
I mean, you know, you don't always have those customers, but when you do, it's a happy day, you know, because one, you're helping your client, and two, you're actually making a little bit more than you expected to make, which is also part of the game as well.
Right. Exactly. So what are some of the, we talked about some of the things you've been working on. What are some of the things that, you know, favorite tools that you have in your business, software or hardware?
I use Malwarebytes.
Okay.
For sure. CCleaner. I noticed when I was starting it maybe a couple of years back, I'm like, when I do the registry cleaning, I end up doing registry cleaning more than once.
Right.
Because it doesn't get it all. I'm like, oh, I just hit clear. Why didn't you guys clear it? Do it again. Boom. No, you're not finished. Do it again. Boom. All right. Now you're clear. There you go. And I've also used in the past, and one of my – still kind of one of my favorites would be like SpyBot, Search and Destroy.
You don't know how many people have said that to me over the past month. I'm like, I'm still amazed. I'm like, now does he still update that product?
You know what? Yes, he does.
Okay.
He actually updated it to a different GUI system, a different look, the way it looks. And it actually does the same amount of killing bugs and stuff. I mean, it back when I was using it back before, It did a lot. And it was like, okay, do you want to restart your computer? And because we need to fix a couple of the things. I'm like, okay, if I hit yes at this point so that it can restart and then it could do its search, I would not see the light of day with this computer for like the next day. I'm like, oh. So instead, I'll look for the problems that it has and I'll weed them out myself, the things that it didn't clear out.
Okay, gotcha.
And instead of hitting yes, reset, so you can do that darn stand that I can't get rid of once it starts, I'm just going to say no because I cleared it and I'm going to reset the computer, not you.
So, gotcha. Okay.
And actually that helped a lot. And then I don't try to use like hardcore programs. Well, at least I believe they're kind of hardcore, like for instance, Combo Fix, until I really, really need to.
Sure.
You know, and I found out a couple new other programs that you guys were talking about, D7 and what else was there? D7 and probably.
Oh, like Tech USB and Tech Waru, yeah.
Tech Waru, that was another one.
Right.
Those are really, really tough programs. I mean, if I'm at a point where I can't find something that I can't, it just keeps coming back no matter what, then I would definitely bring out those guns for sure. But I wouldn't use them too hard, you know, too fast. I would definitely go with the normal bug killers first and then go with, you know, the hard ones in case they're really hard to get rid of.
Well, the nice things about like D7-2 and the Tech Waru and stuff like that is basically all the tools that a tech normally uses manually, that's all it really does is it pulls all those same tools all in one place and updates them on a regular basis. So you don't have to go out and find them all the time.
I noticed that.
And you can just run them from that program and they run and you know, you're on your way. You can run some, you know, some of them simultaneously one after the other.
Oh, I usually do that anyway.
And it's, yeah. So it takes a step out of there of having to, you know, make sure that your USB, you know, flash drive is updated and, you know, ready to go with all the latest, greatest stuff. So, you know, it's more of a thing of convenience, I think, using those types of tools versus, you know, doing stuff manually. But I think everybody really should start off manually and absolutely learn how to use the different tools.
You're absolutely right, for sure. Because what I've realized is that some of these bug killers, they don't really kill everything. Sometimes it's in the registry deeper inside,
right,
and you literally got to do it yourself. And in, you know, I guess in a way I'm still more hands-on that way. I've trained myself old school and I haven't actually graduated out of there as of yet. And what I notice is something is definitely there and keeps responding and responds to other things. There's got to be a root in there. There's got to be something in there. And I never heard of rootkits at that point either.
Right.
Rootkit killers and things like that. And I was like, but I did it myself. I pulled it out myself. And, you know, I was looking for programs that would, like, kill a process because you hit delete and obviously something won't. It will say, like, no, I don't think so. You know? And it was like when you go deeper into the registry and you kill whatever you need to kill, and then you hit control delete and then you kill that one, whatever comes up, and then you can delete it. That's when I'm going, okay, I got rid of it that time, you know. And this is before I found out of hijack this.
Oh, okay. Yep.
And you know, things that will kill the process for me and things like that. And I just have been doing that the hard way. But I felt that it was just more under my control, you know?
Right. Yeah.
But but with the new ones, I definitely want to keep using the new stuff that comes out. And thanks to you guys, I actually do. And finally keep myself up to date on a lot of these programs that are out there now.
Right. I'll be honest with you. There's a lot of programs that I used to run on machines that I'm basically down to two scanning programs that I use. And I actually go into registry manually and rip all the stuff out. And it, to be honest with you, it takes me less than 15 minutes to do that. So it's kind of like, now that I was taught where everything is at, I have a better understanding of what I'm looking at and where it's going to populate. And once I do that, you know, I'll run malware bytes, and then, you know, maybe a TDSS killer. Right. If I think there might be some sort of rootkit or something on there. But a lot of times, you know, there's really, it's pretty easy to clean that stuff up nowadays. I think the problems, I think, oh, I was going to say, man. That's all right. The problems, I think, a lot of times are with the new stuff that's coming down the pike that we don't know about yet. Right. And, you know, we've got to be aware of those things, because especially the stuff that encrypts your data, you know, like a CryptoLocker or something like that is just, you know, devastating to a lot of people, especially when people don't have backups.
Right. And, and that's the whole, that's the other little part. I mean, yeah, sure. You got these people, you know, running into the CryptoLocker because of a link that they hit or something. But nowadays it's funny. You got these people saying, "Hey, I'm from Microsoft." And,
right.
And, we noticed that your downloads, your updates haven't been downloading, and, we want to help you, you know. And it's just like, one of my clients was like, "Yeah, I got that phone call." I was like, "Okay, so what happened? What did you do?" She's like, "I told him I was going to call my computer guy and have him take care of it." And she just hung up on it. I says, "Good job."
There you go.
See, that's the whole thing. It was just like, you know, educating your client, making sure that, you know, they get the right education that they needed, not to go ahead and just, you know, answer any phone calls and start jumping on a computer and start doing anything. It's just a bad idea, you know, and, you know, just using some smarts, you know, no matter how old you are, you got to make sure that, you know, you use a little brain when you're working on the computers and making sure you don't get yourself caught up in something that you can't get out of. And then what if it was a CryptoLocker? What do? You know, you're going to get yourself into a point where you can't get all your files back. You got to pay these guys. And who knows, even if you do pay them, they'll even give you your stuff back.
Right.
Let's protect yourself. Just make sure it never happens, you know. And these guys that call you, they'll lock you out of your system, you know. And it's just crazy.
Yeah.
How and why, you know.
I'll give you – there's 10 billion reasons why.
Really? I mean, I could figure one or two, but – wow. I mean, money, I'm sure. But,
well, and that's what I mean. There's 10, you know, it's a over $10 billion industry.
Wow.
So,
yeah, I mean, like I said, education is number one with me. I mean, I'm not going to just sit there and fix your computer and hook it back up and say, "Great, have a nice day." You know, I'd like to be one-on-one and make sure that these guys understand that I'm not there to just take their money, which I'm not. I'm there to educate you, make sure you guys get the right information, and just be able to rely on me when something happens, you know. And you get a lot of more people that are just more friendlier, even if they are disgruntled. It's like, "Oh, I lost one." But okay, why are they disgruntled? Because they lost all their stuff. Okay, right. Let's see if we can do something about that. Instead of yelling and arguing, let's try to work with this, you know. And a lot of them, you know, when they talk, you talk to them at a better level than them, they usually just calm down. They're just not understood. Some people are just that way. But I like to deal with those disgruntled clients. I love disgruntled clients. It's just how I am.
Wow, that's awesome. That's a great trait to have. Let me ask you a question though. Going back to, I was just thinking about you're talking about the Lenovo screens where the broken hinges were coming off, and obviously we all know that the back of the screen is plastic, and so the spots where the screws go into, those normally break.
Yeah.
Now, what do you normally do for fixing those? Do you actually replace them, or do you, you know, have you found a way that you can actually fix that?
Well, it's it's not professional, but I let them know ahead of time. I tell them, look, I may have to use a little Gorilla Glue and make sure that this will never come off ever at all. So luckily, it's just plastic and metal. The screen itself isn't really touched. So once that gets re-glued, actually, it's supposed to be flattened out to, so that there's at least something that it, the glue and the hinges, because it's supposed to be sitting on wells. So I have to, whatever broken wells there are, I have to just kind of, you know, sand them down with a Dremel and then be able to get a cleaner surface for the glue to adhesive to. And it actually worked.
Okay.
They did work. I don't use glue on machines a lot. I really, really don't. It's not a good idea. But some people don't want to pay an extra $100 or $200 just to get a back piece.
Right.
You know, and on top of that, no matter what happens, the glass is bound to break. No matter how careful you are, it's still bound to break.
Right.
You know, because they're adhesived on. So kind of like the iPhones are. So it's just like, oh, wow. You know, and I told him that. I also told him, look, they are bound to break. We're going to have to buy a whole new back case if you want to do that with the actual touchscreen. And that's what makes it more expensive. And right. They said, okay. So I told him this is the option that we can do to make it less expensive for you, but workable, so it will never come apart. And to this day, it hasn't came apart. And it's a hinge, so it goes up and down like all the time, and it has not come off.
Okay, that's good to know. Because yeah. I've often looked at those, and I usually tell my customer, yeah, it's going to be, and you know, they're around, like you said, $50 to $100 for the back, depending on the model.
Depending on the model. Those models, and I've seen two of those specific models, and one of them actually has like a has three parts to it, and this one only has two, which is the back and the actual glass. That's the one I have. The one that has a bezel, like a plastic bezel around all four sides, and then the glass, and then the back. That's the ones I don't have. Those are the ones that are cheaper.
Okay. The other thing I do is with the, you know, a lot of times the hinges, because they're all manufactured on a line somewhere, some of those hinges are so stiff that when you're opening and closing that lid, that's why they came out. So a lot of times, if I am replacing the back, I also will get a new set of hinges, because usually they're a lot more, they're a lot looser than the original hinges they had on there for whatever reason. I just think some of them are just made way too tough.
Yeah, those were definitely what I've ran into, were definitely way too tough. But ever since I did the Gorilla Glue, it hasn't even flinched.
Okay,
it actually acts really good. But that advice is a really good advice, nevertheless. I mean, that was just for that specific brand, but I understand what you're talking about, because the hinges are definitely a lot tighter.
Yeah,
I mean, if there was a way to loosen them up, I mean, that'd be one thing, but there isn't. Those things were manufactured literally by a machine.
Right.
So it was just like, yeah, no, I'm not a machine to work against a machine. So, I hear you. It's a better idea. But in which case, when you don't want to spend a lot of money and you're just trying to say, oh, it's just a hinge. Well, it's not really just a hinge. And in the case like that, that worked and the client was happy. And to this day, I haven't had a phone call since.
Good. Well, I'm glad something like that worked. Yeah, I know there's probably some people that do things like that. I used to when I first started off in the business, and then I just got to a point where I'm like going, here's what I can do, or you just kind of here, you know, put a book behind it and prop it up.
Have a book. It's my book, but you can have it.
So it's, you know, it's, and as long as you're comfortable with, you know, servicing stuff like that and people are happy with it, that's definitely a way to go. Cause I often wonder sometimes, and I don't get me wrong, I've done it with power jacks where I'll build a standoff in the power jack by, you know, drilling into the bottom of the laptop.
Right.
Just so it has something, the power jack has something to push against.
Right.
and, you know, and then I'll glue it in place. Because what happens a lot of times with those, when they get pushed in, they crack all the plastic or even break all the plastic off on the inside, and there's nothing holding that jack in anymore. Right. So you've got to use an, you know, I tend to use an epoxy, and you know, that works for me. But yeah, that's, I don't like doing that, but I also know the bottom of that laptop is so expensive. It just would not be worth it for that customer to pay that much to replace it.
Replace. Right.
So it's unfortunate.
No, I mean, it was a case where I was pretty much pinned against the wall myself, because I couldn't find any more of those.
Okay.
Even on, which I don't like to use eBay for buying things, computer wise. You know, I even called the company. I even called the company and said, look, this is what happened. And I explained it to them. And they says, have you ever had other problems with this one doing this? Because I now currently have two of these.
Right.
They're like, no, we haven't had this problem. I says, and you can't do anything for me? Yeah, no, sorry. We can't really do much for you. You know? I was like, wow, thanks. I really appreciate your help.
Right.
So, you know, and when you're, I did what I could. I mean, I hit this thing from every angle before I decided to say, hey, let's just do glue. I don't want to, but I tried to do it from every angle possible. And I didn't find any solution. I found one company that was going to re-put in different wells, but they wanted well over like $300,
$400. Oh, wow.
Just for the back. Just to redo the wells and to put it all back in. This client wasn't looking for, you know, taking a lot of money to be spending.
Sure.
She's like, I didn't really spend that much on a laptop anyway, but I understand that, and I'm trying not to do any of that, but let me just let you know what the whole thing is. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, Right. And it tells you there's always a fix for something. You know, a lot of people that call, the first question they ask is, I have this problem. Can you fix that? I'm like, yeah, I can fix it. Everything's fixable.
I can fix it. Yeah,
so depending on what we have to do, but everything's fixable. You know, correct. It's just how much money are you willing to spend in order to fix it? So
exactly correct.
So what types of business tips do you have that have been working for you and your business since you've been, you know, doing this?
Well, Friends are good. Anybody that's your friend that's in computer stuff, to watch, you know, computer repair as much as you're doing it, or you never know when you're in a jam. You got to go five different places. You got a client that's waiting for you, and you can't reschedule because that person's on a deadline. Without a good friend to be able to do things for you one way or another to help you out, I mean, it's really difficult because if, you know, like I said, if you're technical and you really need somebody, you know, that's just as technical as you are and very, very thorough as you are, it's always good to have that as a fallback.
That's a good point.
The other thing is word of mouth for sure. I mean, for computer technicians, I mean, you can do websites, you can do link backs, you can do all kinds of good web stuff. But even I build websites. I build, you know, I do as much link back as possible. You know, I try to Google my own business name and whatever comes up, I try to be a part of. Because obviously, if somebody else is going to Google your name, they're going to want to know. You know, oh, if I click this, where would this go? And it goes to a different website. And then it's a link back to your website. You want to put that information of your information, your current information on that website because it becomes a link back for you.
Gotcha.
You'll see that, say, for instance, you know, you Google computer repair, Chicago, a zip code, or you'd be very, 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 very specific. So Green Ink, GR33NINK, and you hit search. There'll be all kinds of different websites on there. Granted, they're not your own, but these are people that want money to get more information so you can be part of their website. But they're part of now they're actually part of your spider web. They're part of your web. So what's cool is what I did was I would register to be part of them and put my current information in there. And then once I do that, it becomes solid. So the next time you do a search, it will link right back to your website, no matter what, and with your current information. So that I found pretty resourceful for link bags, at least the cheaper way to do link bags. If nobody you don't want to pay for SEO, which is what, $500 a month or so. I mean, it's absurd, but they guarantee. Oh yeah, well you know we'll put you on the first or second up in line. What I did was just do the most inexpensive way to do link bags is use other people. Since they're bringing up my name, you might as well be part of them. As long as they're not destroying you or figuring a way to bring you down. But what do they say? No bad, there's no such thing as bad publicity.
Okay. So, right.
That's the two advice. I think the last advice is just longevity. The longer you're working with yourself, as far as you know, a business that you're running, the longer people will remember you for. I mean, people will work with you the first year that you're out there, and then little do you realize that person was out there 10 years, 20 years later. They're still your client. I have right. like 10 of my clients, at least to the least, is 10 of my clients because I started working really, really working on computers and designing. I think 1990. So,
okay.
These clients are still there. They're still, hey, can I get you to network my system? I just moved into a new building. I'm upgrading and blah blah blah. Sure, no problem. You need business cards too? Okay, cool.
There you know, you go.
I mean, it's just part of longevity. Being part of something as long as you can will always. You'll always get your clients that are always going to be there for you, right behind you, you know, kind of working with you, you know?
Right. Yeah. Good work and those people will stay with you for that length of time. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And they'll tell other people about it, which is, you know, obviously how you're getting your business. So that's a, you know, bonus right there.
Yeah. Like I said, it's word of mouth. I mean, like I said, with companies like, you know, Sherman Produce that I have, which is a store that has a lot of groceries and things like that. They have workers. They have like 20 workers, maybe 30 workers, and all of them know that you're the computer guy. Hey, he's a computer guy. He was here last time.
Right.
Hey, can you fix my iPhone? And can you unlock my iPhone? Can you jailbreak my, you know, and all this other, can you, okay, can you come over? My laptop is, or can you come over there? My PC is acting funny. My laptop isn't starting up or, you know, something to that effect. I mean, I'll always get more work from person that has, that is just one person, you know, and I think that's great. Sometimes that one person's got five different computers. Sometimes that one person has, like I said, 20 different people
right.
working for you, and they all know you, you know, because you're part of that. I like to be part of that. I like to be the guy to go out there if I have to go out there and work with the people that are there hands on. The remote stuff is good. It's great. I just got into that recently, but I feel kind of like separated from my clients, even though, you know, we're still working together. I tell them, you know, I need you to reboot my computer, reboot the computer, or here's the problem. He got to get an email. Okay, let's work on it together, blah, blah, blah. Or go ahead and do what you got to do. I'll work on it myself and, you know, do the whole remote login thing. I use TeamViewer. I find that it works really well for what I need to do. And yeah, there's a little disclaimer that comes up at the end, but I noticed that people don't really care as long as their computer's fixed. I mean, that's all that matters to them.
Right.
You know, I don't care. I'll just click okay. Boom. Doesn't really matter, you know? And, you know, the TeamViewer has been really good with that. But once again, I just felt like I've been a little more separating from the client. And I've been gathering a lot of my clients, but putting them all on TeamViewer. And like I said, it just feels a little different. Maybe it's a good feeling. Maybe it's a bad feeling. I'm just not 100% sure yet. Cause like I said, I've just started doing more remote stuff, but what is your take on a lot of remote stuff?
My business is local, so I tend to deal with people in a small area. I like the remote, you know, for clients that I've, you know, either worked with before. I have had clients call up and I'll tell them, I said, well, you don't have to bring me your computer. I can remote in and take care of this problem because they have a slow computer or whatever. And I'll go in and take it. And they're always like, I didn't know you could do something like that. So there's still people out there today that don't realize that you can do these types of things.
Right.
But absolutely. The thing is, he felt comfortable with me because I was still only like 10 minutes away from where he lived. So, you know, you still know where I'm at if something bad were to happen or whatever. And that's kind of the way I look at, you know, remote support. Now, I have clients right now that I can get into their computer anytime. So if they call me, not that I have any reason to, but if they call me, I can go remote in, fix their problem, and we're on our way. For stuff like that, especially the one-off stuff, it works beautifully.
Right.
So there's still a lot of people that will still bring me their computers.
Sure.
And I'll work on them. And quite honestly, there are some times that the computers are so messed up.
Oh God, yeah.
That they have to bring them to me anyways, because, you know, I've got to do more than just my normal cleanup on it.
You really got to work at it.
So, well,
yeah, I hear you.
I appreciate you coming out on the show. And if you want, why don't you go ahead and tell people where they can find you at?
Yeah, sure. My phone number is pretty simple, 773-750-1050. My web name is Green Ink. That's GR33NINK. The actual Green Ink was actually taken.
Okay.
So I had to be a little creative with that.
That is creative. I like that.
And my email address is Andres, A-N-D-R-E-S, at GR33NINK.com.
Great. Well, I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing with us today. And I hope you had fun.
I did, actually. I know I talked a lot. Sorry for anybody that was just like, oh my God. But I like to hear this out of my voice, and I am a computer guy, so.
There you go. It's all good. It. Okay, good.
Thank you, everybody, for listening, and thank you for having me on the show.
No problem. All right, you guys can also find me on the Google Plus at Jeffrey Hallish or Twitter at TechNutPC. And if you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, please email me at podnutsdaily@podnuts.com. If you want to leave a voicemail, call 1-888-697-0162. And I want to thank our sponsor, Instant House Call, for this episode of Podnuts Daily. Don't forget, if you guys need business paperwork to get started in your computer repair business, then check out the link for the TechNibble Computer Business Kit over at podnuts.com. And if you guys could, please leave us a rating and review over on iTunes. That'll help more people know about us. You also can help support the Podnuts Network the next time you're shopping at Amazon. Go to podnuts.com/Amazon. Remember, that doesn't change your price at all. It just puts a little change in the pockets of the Podnuts Network to bring you these great shows. And I want to thank everyone for listening and subscribing to the show. We'll see you next time on Podnuts Daily. My name is Jeff Hallish. I am the host of Podnuts, where Chris Carruthers and myself take live calls on the air to answer questions or to get answers from other computer repair techs every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern. You can check it out over at podnuts.com/live. Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.